Welcome back to another episode of the Balance with Sam podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm super excited for this week's episode as I have on my friend Max Nottinson, also known as Max Not Fit on Instagram. On today's episode, we talk a lot about self-reflection and just gaining mental strength, and especially talking about the most important things for self-improvement, awareness, and just gaining more purpose and clarity in why you're here. So another thing that we do discuss is balancing the present moment, but also how to think about moving forward and becoming better. Max is an online coach and has a really great Instagram presence and really is just talking to everyone about mindfulness, being self-aware, and that you have the power to change your trajectory at any time. So stay tuned to this week's episode. Let me know what you guys think. You can give me feedback on iTunes or Spotify or send me an email. Check out my website at www.balancewithsam.com, and let's tune into the episode now. Alrighty. Hey, Max, how's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. For everyone listening, we have Max Not Fit. What's your last name? Max Nottinson? Is that how you say
Nottinson,
it?
Yeah.
Nottinson. Okay. That's where the Max Not Fit comes from. I just realized.
A lot of people don't. I always feel like it's kind of like implied, but yeah, I guess it's not as easy to understand as I would like.
You know what's funny is I thought that your handle was like, you're not fit. You know what I mean? Like the opposite of fit. And then I just had that realization.
That's really funny.
Also, my blonde hair shines through in moments like that. So that's okay. All right. So for everyone listening, Max is an awesome, awesome guy. And he's located in, are you in Amherst? Right now
I am. I'm from Natick, Mass. I'm at school. I'm at UMass, so I'm in Amherst. Yeah.
Cool. And are you just finishing up school, or what year are you in?
Yeah, I'm a senior. So I just yesterday had my last class of my first semester of senior year, and I just have one semester left to go.
Awesome. So for everyone listening, I kind of wanted to just get you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background, what you're studying, and what you're doing now in like the health industry and your Instagram. Just kind of walk us through a little bit of a bio, what you're about.
Yeah. Okay. So I started working out my senior year of high school. A friend kind of convinced me to go to the gym with him one day, like Planet Fitness. And I went that day with him after he persuaded me, and I ended up actually really liking it. He never went again, and I never stopped going after that. Something about it, I don't really remember why, but I just liked it, and I stuck with it and learned more over time, and started to learn like the main principles of weightlifting and how to actually build muscle, how to lose fat, learn more about tailoring my diet to my goals, and just over the years I feel like to this day I'm still learning stuff all the time. But then I went into college, a political science major. I was really into politics for a while. And after a while of that, I was kind of like, this is interesting to me, but it's a lot. And it's also not something I want to do for the rest of my life. So an older brother in my fraternity, he kind of introduced me to this program at the school that he was in called BDIC, which is bachelor's degree in individual concentration. And it's basically the major where you can, design your own major using classes from different fields of study. And
cool.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that sounds great. And I looked into it, took the like intro class, and basically designed a major called fitness-based entrepreneurship. I've always kind of known that I wanted to work for myself. I just never knew if I was going to be like fully capable of doing it, but I kind of saw this opportunity, and I just decided to take advantage of it. And so I take classes in kinesiology, which is like exercise science for anyone who isn't aware of that. I take nutrition classes, and then a lot of business classes. So like entrepreneurship, management, things like that. And the major is awesome. The advisors in it are great. I have a lot of flexibility in what I can do, and I'm really enjoying it so far. And so I think I switched into that like end of my sophomore year. And that summer, so the summer after that, for my junior year, I decided I don't really remember what made me decide to start, you know, like an Instagram page for fitness stuff, but I kind of just went for it. I had done one in the past with a friend, but it was just sort of like awkward content. kind of like the classic, like, hey guys, chest day today, go kill it. You know, like
the generic, here's my selfie.
Exactly. And, so like I did that for a while and didn't really think I was like good at it. Or I didn't really enjoy it that much. I didn't really gain much traction. And, this summer I kind of like decided I would just do one on my own, mostly just for myself to track progress, but also to like give tips and stuff. I thought it'd be cool. I saw like friends doing similar things. So I just kind of started posting one day. And, since that day, I've posted at least once every single day. And that was about a little over a year and a half ago, I want to say. Yeah, I think that adds up. And, we talked about this earlier before the call, but I'm about to take my first break from Instagram ever.
Yeah.
Page at least. But, over that time, I would like post every day, occasionally twice, but usually just one post a day, do some stories of what I was up to. And, the page has shifted over the months a little bit in terms of where the main focus of my content has been. But for the first major portion of it, I was doing, you know, fitness, nutrition, and then some generic lifestyle tips. I would, you know, share like tips for certain exercises. I would do recipes for like protein pancakes. That was like one of my first posts. And I really just tried to, you know, differentiate myself from other pages because there's so many fitness pages out there. I try to kind of make mine more me. And it kind of just picked up after a little while with enough consistency. And once I started realizing like what pictures people were more likely to click on their explore page, like which content would go viral.
Yeah.
That definitely helped gain some traction on my page. So, you know, like the first time I ever posted a viral post, it was actually of me and my friend who I had done the Instagram page with previously.
Yeah.
And it was just like a transformation picture of the two of us. And that was like the first time anything I posted ever went viral. Before that, I think the most reach that I had on a post was like maybe like 900 or 1,000. And then this picture all of a sudden was seen by like 90,000 people.
And crazy.
Yeah, a little bit of a jump. And I was, up until then, I didn't really understand like how you could just get a ton of followers on Instagram. And then I was like, okay, that's how you gain traction. You like catch people's attention. So it's been sort of a balance of combining, you know, the clickbait aspect of it where you want to reel people in with the quality aspect where you want to keep them in and prove that you actually have something to offer. And lately I've kind of seen that when my page is like mostly graphics, I feel a little bit disconnected from my audience. And definitely not to hate on anybody whose pages are mostly graphics. I think they're extremely valuable that you can portray a lot of information through them. I've kind of just gravitated away from them because I'd rather, I feel, I guess, more confident in what I'm putting out when it's more like me. And I feel like it's kind of hard to explain, but.
No, I know exactly that feeling.
Yeah. Just like the engagement of it. Like I think the followers that you can build from posting about yourself are going to be the ones that are in it for the long term, as opposed to the ones that see a graphic and are like, oh, that, you know, that's helpful to me. I'll follow for the content.
Right. Yeah. I think it's about the caption, really, you know, like your message. That's what made me start following you. No offense to any of your posts, you know, but like your captions are totally what drew me in, because like it resonated with me, or I felt some type of connection to you. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like something I would think or something I would say. And so then I kept scrolling and I like looked through a few more posts and I was like, okay, I like Max. He's cool. And then you just kept showing up like consistently. And I think that's what your followers look for, is like, you're like a role model to them, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's like such a cool feeling. It's funny because you almost have to have some kind of like clickbait aspect where you reel people in. But I, like you said, I think like most of the value I can offer in my content is in my captions and in my writing, because, you know, I'm not like inherently a photographer or a graphic designer or anything, but like writing is my strong suit. So that's kind of where, like you said, I can sort of especially differentiate myself from other content. But yeah, so that's kind of the story of my page. And lately, I'll touch on this a little bit. I've had a lot of trouble with gaining extra reach outside of my following. I was posting like twice over the summer, and I was a lot more, I won't say consistent, but I guess I was just posting a lot more frequently. And when I came to school, I dropped it down to like one post a day and probably haven't been doing stories as consistently. So I definitely haven't decreased the quality of what I'm putting out, just more so like the frequency. Yeah. And the Instagram algorithm, it can be kind of a bitch. So it definitely picked up on that. And for a while, like since I've been at school, like end of August, I haven't really been able to reach many people. And you know, when you have a larger following, people are always kind of unfollowing. So you just sort of count on more people to be following you at a faster rate. And that's kind of how you grow. I'm sure you know. And so lately, because I'm not gaining that traction, I've unfortunately like lost some followers, which is fine. It's like not the end of the world. And I always think like they're not the ones that we're going to stick around anyways.
Yeah.
I guess it's still frustrating. So I'm taking this Instagram break to take a step back, kind of re-strategize. I'll have a lot more free time this coming semester. I'll be in like less direct classes, doing a lot more independent study credits, and just we'll have a lot more time to sit down and really, you know, focus on my niche, strategize with how I want to be putting out my content, how I want to be time managing Instagram with the rest of my life. And I'm hoping to get it to eventually pick back up and get that growth back to where it was.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, I commend you seriously so much for being a student and doing this. It's incredible. And that's kind of where I wanted to dive into, because, you know, a lot of people probably don't even realize that you're a full-time student, right? And you're also, you have this Instagram following, and you have, you know, you got a lot of things going on. You have like the ebook for sale. I don't know if you have one-on-one clients, but, you know, you're coaching people through things. And I think for you, you're learning and you're coaching. Like that's amazing. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about your day-to-day like tips. So I guess starting with like mornings, do you have a morning routine that you typically go through? Maybe it's not like perfect every day, but do you have some like suggestions for people out there that are looking to just like get up, get their day going and start off on the right foot, mindset, physically, anything really?
Yeah, I think I've kind of gone back and forth with my morning routine just because, you know, I'm home for a couple weeks and then I'm back at school. And right now I'm actually living in my fraternity house for the rest of the semester. So it's not the easiest thing in the world to have like a peaceful, calming, you know, positive morning routine. I kind of do what I can with the space that I have. So I just finished my term as president of the fraternity, actually. Ooh. So yeah.
You get a special crown.
I got like kind of like a badge of sorts.
Oh, nice.
I do get the biggest room in the house, which is that's like the benefit of it. Maybe yeah. Like one of the few, but tough job. But yeah, so I have like a pretty spacious area, and the rest of the house is rarely, you know, clean. So at least I have control of this space, and I guess right now, I don't have too much of a morning routine. I'll usually wake up. I try to wake up even on days when I can sleep in. I rarely try to wake up after like 10, like 9 or 10. Some days if I can sleep in a little bit, I'll definitely let myself. But I hate to admit it, but like checking my phone is usually the first thing I do just to make sure there's nothing urgent that I'm missing out on. And once I kind of get that and can get myself up, then it's like I usually shower most mornings. And the staples of the mornings are usually just really clearing my head and like preparing for the day ahead. So the one thing I do just about every day is I actually have it with me here right now, but I like write down everything I have to do that day, like kind of a checklist.
Yep.
Notebook. That's something I sort of picked up this past summer, just writing in a notebook and having that available to like always write down thoughts and stuff I gotta do is honestly huge. I would highly recommend it to anybody else. Yeah, just even it I used to kind of do checklists on my phone, and this is more of like a personal, like, kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. It's more, you feel like more obligated to do tasks when you actually write them down with like a pen on paper than if it's just on your
phone. How many tasks are typically on your to-do list for the day?
I'd say it's usually between like 6 and 10, depending on how much time I have and when I wake
up. How many do you actually get done?
it depends on the day. Sometimes I get done literally like 2 of them, and sometimes I can actually get done all of them. It's rarely all of them though. Usually I'll write down more than I'm able to do. I'll kind of like overshoot just to, and then sort of prioritize from there. So if I have two that like aren't as important, I'll leave them towards the bottom, and just kind of check them off as I go. It's like such a good feeling to just check it off. And
yes, so satisfying to draw that line.
Honestly, and like especially on the days when I do get everything done and it's just like all checked off, it's like an amazing feeling. So a lot of the time I'll also write down stuff that I like know I'm going to do anyways, like go to this class at this time or eat lunch with this person, and it's just kind of nice to be like, okay, that part of my day is done and complete, and I move forward. But I kind of wish I had more of a like professional morning routine where I would like meditate and read and kind of like, you know, perfect my mindset, but realistically I don't right now. It's in the future I would like to nail a couple things down like that. I'd like to get more into meditation, but right now it's just not super feasible. But the biggest thing for me is, you know, planning for the day ahead, getting ready, kind of getting myself out of a funk. Like when I wake up, sometimes I just don't feel super motivated, which I'm sure is the case for a good amount of people. Yeah. I do like to listen to music a lot to put me in the right mindset, like a motivating like rap or hip hop song just to kind of get the juices flowing. Once I'm like up and do like one thing, like make my bed or write down the checklist, it's kind of like go time from there. And, you know, getting that first thing done really puts me in the right position to get the rest of the stuff done. So yeah. I guess that's what I could explain it.
The momentum builds, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think it's like with anything, right? If you have a plan for the day or the month or the year, you just feel way more in control of your like circumstances. And like the same thing with making your bed, like you make your bed, it's such a simple thing, but you did it and it feels so good. Like you're like, I did this thing. I fucking accomplished something today. I don't care if you're just moving a sheet on my bed, you know. It's like those little wins, right?
Honestly, I didn't used to make my bed, but you're right. It like just that little thing. It's like I've heard it on like podcasts and I've heard people say it before, but it really is true. Like getting that one easy thing done really sets the tone. It's like, okay, I can do this. Like, what else can I do? Let's see.
Yeah. So that's a great segue onto like my next kind of question for you is, I know that you've talked a lot on your page and in your stories and stuff about like self-help and like self-growth and discovery and just like being, I think, self-aware, maybe being like more in tune with who you are or like who you want to be, growth and stuff. For people listening, like what are some things that you've done to become more self-aware or to grow? Strategies, it could be podcasts, books, whatever, and maybe some recommendations for people that are looking to, you know, work on themselves.
Yeah. Wow. I think first of all, I just want to say, you know, being self-aware and having emotional intelligence, I think those two things more than probably anything else have like helped me in becoming more successful in what I'm doing. And I like can't recommend enough just really focusing on, you know, understanding who you are, why you react certain ways in certain situations, as well as, you know, understanding where other people are coming from in situations and really being able to empathize with their point of view. So it's hard to pinpoint specific things. I think listening to certain podcasts, I'm a big fan of, I'm not sure if you know who Amanda Bucci is.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. I follow her. A lot of her captions are kind of about this. And Gary Vee, obviously, he's been a huge influence. Just sort of listening to people who clearly know more than I do and kind of proving to myself like there's always so much more to know is both humbling and kind of eye-opening. It's like, okay, like I don't know everything. I always have more to learn. You know, let's see what else I can learn next. And so, yeah, definitely listening to things like that, really just absorbing that kind of content. Another big thing for me is little things like small talk, or even like sometimes interactions with my girlfriend, interactions with friend, with friends. I will try to look back on and like really see their point of view, especially if it was like an argument or there was an issue, and I'll try to see it from their point of view. And you know, that's not something that you can really naturally do. It really has to be a deliberate thing. But if I guess just as an example, if like I disagree with my girlfriend on something, and I'm like having trouble, you know, understanding where she's coming from, I will like literally sit there and like think to myself, like, why is she reacting this way? What's going on with her? Like, what could I be doing better? Like, how is she perceiving the way I'm acting? And you can really, like, you have so much more control over these interactions than you realize. It's just a matter of, you know, this kind of stuff is so hard to put into words, but it's it really is just a matter of being willing to see it from their point of view, and like admit that you might be wrong about it, and adjust how you're acting accordingly.
What's an example of one of those scenarios that's happened to you lately? Does anything come to mind?
I guess a good one with my girlfriend that could be a good example is so because I live in my fraternity house, it's not the nicest place for her to sleep over. So her house is a lot nicer. I'll sleep there, get them out. But in the past, I was less understanding when she wouldn't want to sleep over here. I would almost like take it personally and be like, you're like not willing to do this for me. Like, and definitely didn't really, you know, see it from her point of view as well as I could have. And then I would just kind of think to myself, like, I mean, this is a pretty disgusting place. Like, she's a girl, and this is like a very overly definitely too masculine of an environment. The bathroom's disgusting, and she, like, obviously, like, that's important that she wants to feel like she can be clean when she's in a bathroom
environment.
It's just not a super hospitable place. It's not always disgusting. I'm definitely not justice, but it's certainly not ideal for her to be, you know, sleeping in this kind of environment. And just me kind of going out of my way to be willing to see that has just sort of completely dissolved the situation. And she will sleep here occasionally, and I like make sure to be extra grateful in those times, just because like I understand it's extremely unideal for her, but the fact that she's willing to do that for me says a lot.
You're like in the bathroom, like cleaning the bathroom before she comes over. Yeah, come on over. You're like, let me just scrub this.
I would be. I kind of just let it be and make sure I have extra toilet paper in the room.
That's great. Well, I think that is really important. And I think it goes to show like even your Instagram page, right? Like the way that you write your captions, you're talking to your audience like you understand them, whether you've been in their shoes or not. You can empathize. And I think empathy is one of those things that, like you said, it's learned. Like you have to intentionally put in effort to become more empathetic. I struggled with that super, like so much. And then taking a step back and being like, well, wait a second. People struggle with things that I don't struggle with. And I struggle with things that other people don't struggle with. But like, doesn't mean we need to be on against each other. It's more just trying to step outside of the circumstance, be like, how can I see it from their side? And it makes you more approachable, right? Like, I'm sure, like, how many DMs have you gotten when you post about a certain topic and people are like, Max, like, that's exactly what I was like, that just hit me hard. Like, oh my God, that's perfect.
It happens all the time. And it's funny because I'll post something, I usually write in like from my point of view, so less like you should be doing this and more just like, this is what I'm doing, this is kind of what I've been thinking about lately. And the amount of people that will be like, this one hit home, or like, this one I like really resonated with what you said here, and that like just a specific post will like really hit them hard. It's like people resonate with what you're going through so much more than you realize. Like I'll just explain a situation that I'm in, or like something I'm thinking or going through, and there's like hundreds of other people going through the same thing that like had no idea somebody else was, like, including me. I had no idea like everybody else would understand what I'm saying, but it, yeah, we're all so much more similar than we realize. And that's why I kind of like doing it from my point of view, because I'm not trying to like preach at them, tell them how to feel. I just kind of like show, like, you know, what you're going through is fine. Like, other people are going through it too. And you're definitely not alone in it. And there are ways to face it and work through it.
Yeah. I think the inclusive nature of that is super important, right? Like you said, you're not telling people what to do. You're telling them what they could do, you know, like, here's some great options and suggestions for fat loss or for gaining muscle or for optimizing your life. But like, you're not sitting there being like, if you don't do this, you're stupid, you know? Like, I think from my experience anyways, I have found that we are so similar, it's scary, you know, like, with people. Just, I didn't realize it until I started projecting my thoughts and views and like struggles with anything, right? Until people are like, wow, that hit me. Like, I needed that today. Or like, that was exactly what I experienced last week. And I was like, wait, really? What? Like, you went through that too? You know? Do you have any examples of like some things that you shared maybe that people like really were like, whoa, yes, that hit home?
Yeah, there's definitely a few captions that I've written that I can like remember as like the ones that people were like, this is your best caption yet, like, this is my favorite. Yeah. And probably the all-time best one is my friend has a lake house out here in Western Mass, and so sometimes we'll go and like hang out there for a night and like drink and, you know, catch up or whatever. And we did that, I think it was one of the last nights of this past summer. And I woke up before everybody else, and I don't get internet there on my phone. Like, I have T-Mobile, so it's a great network. I definitely recommend it, but it can be. I'm trying to shit on T-Mobile or anything. I enjoy it.
Sponsored post.
But yeah, so I like that one town or that area, I just don't get service in. So it's kind of like whenever I go there, it's like that time where I'm forced to step away from social media and everything on my phone and just kind of like, you know, take things in and enjoy the moment. And so I woke up that morning and no one else was awake yet. It was pretty early. And it's not like the cleanest lake. And it was pretty cold out, but I was kind of just like, screw it. And I got my bathing suit and just like went for a swim and swam out to the middle of the lake and back and for like a little while. I don't even remember how long it was, but I was kind of just feeling it in the moment. And then I got back in and people were still asleep. So I just sort of sat down and started writing a caption for that day. And I could pull it up, but I think the general gist of it was I was sort of just writing out what I was feeling. And I was like, I talked about, you know, your aspirational self versus your behavioral self. And what that kind of means for anybody that doesn't know is, you know, when, let's say you're answering a survey and somebody says, like, how likely are you to do A or how often do you do B? There's an answer in your head that you would like to be able to say. Usually there's an answer in your head you'd like to be able to say, and then there's an answer that's the truth. So like, it could be about, you know, what content you gravitate towards watching, or what you enjoy doing the most. And, you know, people like to be able to say certain things about themselves, but at the end of the day, it's not nearly as common for them to be able to actually portray that through their actions. And that was kind of what I talked about. I was like, in theory, I think most of us would like to be the kind of person that can just go outside and go for a swim when they feel like it, just because it's like, that's what I want to do. But a lot of us are just sort of hesitant because taking any action requires a lot more effort, a lot more focus. And I'm not trying to like talk myself up that like I'm the guy that went for the swim, but it feels good in that moment to be able to say that you executed this action that you thought you should do and you did it. And I talked about that in the caption, and that, like, by far of anything I've ever posted, that got like hugely positive reaction.
Yeah, that's such an incredible metaphor for life. Damn.
Thank you.
did you recall like what was in going on in your mind when you decided, you're like, fuck it, I'm taking off my clothes and I'm going in that lake, or, you know, whatever. Whatever the order of operations was with the clothes, you know.
I guess I was like, I think part of me knew I was going to want to be able to share that I did it. So that, I think that played a role. I think in some way or another, you know, the way others perceive us will always play a role in our actions, whether we like it or not. But I think it's cool to that I kind of have this following and almost feel like accountable in those moments where I can be like, you know, I want to be able to show, you know, the people that are reading my content and look up to some of the things I do. I want to be able to tell them like I did this thing and you can do it too. It's like easier than you think. So yeah, I guess I was thinking about looking out on the lake and like it seemed kind of absurd because it was pretty cold out and early. I was like exhausted, but a little hungover, but I was just like screw it. Like I can do it. So I might as well. And I want to, so like, why not?
Yeah.
I guess I wish it was more of a deep thought process than that, but honestly, yeah, a lot of it was like, I would love to be able to tell like my followers, like I was able to just execute this action because I felt like it.
But I actually think that you spending less time thinking about it is probably what made you do it. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Because like, if you think too much, you're like, oh fuck, then I'm going to be cold and then I'm going to be wet and I'm going to have to dry off. And like, you think of all the things holding you back rather than just like the thing that's actually going to give you benefit. You know, it's like maybe like working out, right? Like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. It's cold. I have to put my shoes on. I'm going to have to do laundry. Like then, you know, like I'm not going to be able to hang out with my friends. But then you, if you just put your shoes on and go and don't even think about it, you'll be done before you know it. And so pumped you did.
Right. You're like actually wasting time just by having that debate in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like decision fatigue.
It's funny because I could also probably relate that back to like when I first started my page. And I guess I didn't used to be as thoughtful as I would say I am now. So yeah. Back when I started my page, I almost look at it as kind of a cool coincidence that I just was willing to start without really overthinking it too much. I thought about it for like probably like a week or two, and then one day I was just like, screw it, like I'm gonna do this. And just like that kind of thought process, like knowing it might not go exactly as I would like it to, I like people might judge me for it, whatever, but just kind of doing it and then going from there, like that initial action is everything, and just sort of sets the tone.
So how do you inspire other people to take action and not just like talk about stuff?
I guess my best answer to that would be through leading by example. So like if it's one thing if I'm telling people, you know, to go start their own page or start working out or be more consistent with blah blah. But it's another thing if I'm doing it, and like we said before, like how I like to write my captions is like, this is what I'm doing. Like I'm capable of doing it. I'm a normal kid. I'm in college. I'm busy. I, you know, have other stuff going on, but I'm doing it. Like, why should you not be able to as well? And a lot of the time, you know, it's people will follow that example for different reasons, whether it be that they're like envious or whether it be they like want the success part of it. Like they, I don't know, people have different motivation for doing things, but at the end of the day, I think just by doing it myself and not forcing people to do it, not forcibly telling them it's what they should be doing, but just showing them that it's possible and how beneficial it's been to me is I think the most important factor.
Yeah. Well, I see that clearly in your page for sure. Like, I think that's exactly what you do, is you lead by example. And I think that's, you know, why your following is authentic. It's not just people like robots and spam bots, you know? I think when you get some people commenting on posts and they're like, you can just kind of get a sense for the heartfelt comments. Like, wow, this actually did touch me. Then you know, like, you're doing the right thing. Like, you know, and it's fulfilling to you. And it's probably a two-way thing. Like, what you said about accountability, I think doing things and having like knowing that there's an audience that's out there, you know, that like looks up to you and you're staying accountable to them. I think it's hard for some people that that maybe aren't on Instagram, whatever, to relate to that. They're like, how can, you know, your silly Instagram page keep you accountable? But I'm like, are you serious? Like, I have like a standard now that I'm not like, I've held myself to that. I want to continue to grow and to be better for, you know? So do you think that as your audience has grown and as your reach has grown, that you've grown like as a person?
I honestly think I have like a lot. And one of the main examples I give of that is like with a larger following, like especially like being at college where a lot of the people around me are the ones who are like catching wind of my page and end up following me even if I don't know them personally.
Yeah.
I'll have moments like at my school gym or like even today I was at, I like also have a membership at Planet Fitness in case it's like a busy hour at the school's gym. So I'll go there and work out. And like this morning, like a girl came up to me and was like so nice and was like, I follow your page. Like I love your content. And that, because I'm at college, I think that happens more often because I don't have like a million followers or anything, but
yeah.
It's like enough people that the people around me will like definitely, you know, catch wind of what I'm doing. And so whenever that kind of thing happens, it like forces me to be able to like present this image in public and almost like not trick people, but I guess in the past I wasn't always the most confident person. I've never been that great at small talk. I'm not like naturally like a super sociable person or super talkative, but yeah, in those moments I'm like, all right, like this, I am myself on Instagram, so why should I not be able to be like authentic and be like you know, kind and like upfront with these people? And so I think that kind of example is the best one I could give. Like it's being more confident and vulnerable on social media has definitely forced me to do that in real life. And that alone has just made such a big difference.
Yeah. I love that. I feel the same way. It's very humbling. And when you project something out into the world and you share something like that, and then people, it resonates with people and you're like, oh, once again, it's going back to the fact that like, you're not alone. And it almost helps you get over whatever the hell was in your head in the first place, you know, getting those words out. Okay. So last thing I want to cover is we kind of went through your morning routine. We went through like strategies of growth and all that stuff. And I kind of want to talk if you have anything that you do before bed, or like to wrap up the day, like a roundup of some sorts or whatever, gratitude. Like, I just kind of want to know, like, recap for the day. Is that something that you do? Is that something you don't do? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the night of the week, just because, you know, weekend nights and even certain weeknights are not as productive as I'd like them to be. But, you know, it's a balancing act. And the nights when I do try to be productive, I'll usually just try to go to bed having, like, tied up any loose ends as far as, you know, answering a couple DMs that might be sitting in my inbox, responding to some, like, texts, planning something for tomorrow, like confirming that I'm doing something, checking my to-do list and seeing like if I do have extra tasks that I didn't get done that day, I'll like circle them and make sure I like put them in for the next day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, really just like, I don't have like a formal moment where I'll sit there and like reflect on the day or anything. But, when I lie in bed, I'll take a minute or two and kind of just, you know, reflect a little bit on everything and just sort of think about things. And a lot of nights I tried to stop doing this, but it's harder than I thought. I usually fall asleep watching The Office, and that's like,
that's my favorite show. Yes.
There are like so many good new shows and movies on Netflix, but I just only watch The Office like over and over again. I just love it too much. But I'll usually fall asleep watching that. And I guess I don't really have this like formal night routine. It's more just a matter of like finishing off the day and looking at tomorrow and being like, how can I, you know, what else do I have to do, what else can I do, I should say. Just kind of like concluding things in my head and making sure I can go to bed, you know, comfortable having finished everything that I needed to get done.
Cool. So in terms of, you know, reflecting on the day and what you have to do tomorrow, I want to talk to you about like, what do you have in store for us in the next 10, 20 years? Like, what do you want to do? Like, big time goal, I guess. Like, let's start big. Like, talking about, like, no limitations. If money were an object, like, nothing. Like, what is Max Not Fit's goal?
Wow. I definitely, you know, it's a pretty common answer. I'd like to be making, like, a comfortable amount of money, but definitely not at the cost of not doing something I'm passionate about. So that's why I'm, like, so determined to make this path work, just because I love doing this kind of thing so much, and, you know, making fitness and helping others, like, the main thing in my lifestyle that's supporting me. But yeah, I guess I would like to be probably, like, near a major city with my girlfriend, definitely being able to travel pretty frequently. We're, like, huge travelers, so yeah. That'd be awesome to be able to do that, you know, a lot in the future. And one day I would like to own a gym for sure, just to kind of have that. I feel like all the major influencers eventually like go into building their own gym, so that's kind of like a cool long-term goal. It'd be cool to just have that as like a main spot. But I would like to definitely continue building the following, like be able to reach more people and diversify a bit onto other platforms. I kind of have like started to branch onto YouTube. Definitely haven't mastered that form of content yet. I'm working on the video thing, but that's like a big project for this coming semester. So yeah, diversify a bit, work with some brands that I like actually, you know, respect and like their stuff, and kind of just continue down this path of like growing on social media while also, you know, growing personally and helping others in the process. It sounds kind of cheesy, but if I can do that and make a solid living doing it and be able to travel and, you know, spend time with people I love, and then also, yeah, just like be comfortable in all areas of life, then that would be the absolute dream.
That's a dream. Hell yeah. Well, I mean, think of it this way. Like, you went into college with a major in mind, and then you're like, no, fuck this. I'm going to make my own major because I'm an entrepreneur. So I believe you can do it if you've already done that, you know, like, and I'm sure your following agrees. Okay. So to wrap up, I usually like to do like, top three words of wisdom to everyone listening. So like, whether they be things that you've gone through, like mistakes that you've made that you want to prevent others from going through, or just like big, you know, nuggets of gold wisdom, your top three that you want to share with everyone listening.
Okay, this is tough. I guess one of them would be the most important thing that you can do for yourself in terms of growing, you know, socially, in your career, in literally any aspect of life, is to focus inwards, focus on how you can improve yourself, and just get to know yourself and, you know, how you thrive and what works best for you. And having that kind of self-awareness will do wonders in almost just about any situation.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another tip. It's hard to say tips that sound original because I feel like I just refer everything back to a quote I've heard, but
that's okay. If it matters to you, then it's good.
Yeah, true. Okay. I guess I would say there's, what's the actual quote? It's like, there's no, like, I don't even know how it goes, but you know, good. People like to look at things that happen as, you know, generally good or generally bad. But lately I've been trying to do this especially. I really like to focus on the negative things and just make them into lessons. So like, I definitely believe that everything happens for a reason. And when I like get a bad grade on a paper or have a poor interaction with somebody or like an argument, I always will, you know, consciously try to learn something from it and be like, if this happened again, like, how could I do it differently? And, you know, then the next time it happens, I usually will do it differently. And that's like one more kind of scenario that I've sort of mastered and am able to handle in a way that I would like to.
Yeah. It's like the obstacle to opportunity, like yeah. Kind of that mindset, I guess. And it kind of goes back to your first point too, just like another avenue of it, like the self-awareness, the empathy, like, okay, what happened, what went wrong, and how can I assess and like move forward, like a growth mindset.
Definitely. That's yeah, that's like everything.
Yeah.
And wow. I guess I would say, I like to promote a balance of living in the moment and, you know, appreciating what's going on around you and really trying to soak that in as much as you can, while also always thinking forward and, you know, planning your day with tasks that are going to set you on a path to improve and progress and like work towards whatever your goals are. So just sort of balancing, you know, the moment with also the future and understanding that, you know, your actions today will eventually set you on a path to be somewhere in the future. So being able to balance that, I think, is everything. And it's kind of a mix of, I don't know, I think I'm rambling a bit, but yeah, you get what
rambles
I mean.
Rambles are good. Rambles are good. That's where the gold ends up popping out, you know?
Yeah,
I guess so. Awesome. Those are great. Okay, last question for reals. What is your favorite exercise in the gym?
Ooh. Bicep pump.
Why?
Bicep pump is just incredible. And doing curls, something about the way the veins look or the way the definition comes up when I'm doing like good old dumbbell curls is like nothing else. So that's my favorite.
Have you heard that hilarious quote? I think Arnold said it. It was like about a bicep pump. He's like, bicep pumps are better than sex or something like that. I'm like, okay, sure. Okay, Arnold, let's go with that. All right. So it's the bicep curl. Do you prefer dumbbell or barbell?
I don't do barbell very often. I'm a big dumbbell guy. So I usually do, for when I retrain biceps, I'll do dumbbell curls and then I'll do cable curls, actually.
Mm. Nice. No curls in the squat rack, though.
No, never.
All right. Awesome. Well, for everyone listening, where can they find you on social media, your website? Like, tell us where to go check you out.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at maxnotfit, and that's MAXNOTT, two T's, FIT, maxnotfit. YouTube, I believe, is just Max Nottinson if you want to support my up and coming YouTube stardom. That's MAXNOTTONSON. What else? My website is just maxnotfit.com. If you want to check out my stuff, I have a beginner gym training program that I developed over the summer that I would highly recommend to anybody looking to get started in the gym. And that's called the Everyman's Gym Plan. You can find that in the product section of my website or just through the link in my Instagram bio. And I believe that is it. Any follows, support, messages would be highly appreciated.
Hell yeah. And I'll put the links and stuff to all that in the bio of the podcast so people can find you.
Perfect.
But thank you so much, Max, for taking time out of your day to be on the show. I think everyone can learn a lot from what you shared, and that, you know, it's super important to have self-reflection. I think really, like, at least the message that I've kind of gained from you is like, there's always a place for it, and it's never going to not help you grow and move forward.
Definitely. So. I couldn't agree more. No, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak like this.
Hell yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be doing this again sometime soon. And I hope you have an awesome rest of your day and good luck with the rest of your semester.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Woo.
I look forward to talking in the future.
Awesome. Alrighty. Bye, Max.
Take care.
Alrighty, that wraps up another episode of the Balance with Sam podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and a huge shout out to Max for taking time to be on the show and sharing all about his fitness-based entrepreneurship, his experience in school and balancing that with work, and always looking to improve himself and sharing with others on how they can improve themselves, their mindset, and just their overall mental strength. I think Max has a lot of wisdom, especially at his age, that he has a lot to share with us, and, you know, finding people who are smarter than us, understanding other people's point of view, being empathetic, all that stuff is just practical life skills that's going to help you much farther down the road, and just, you know, you become more aware of yourself. So I hope this episode has really helped you guys. I'm really looking forward to hearing the feedback on this one, so please be sure to let me know. And if you enjoyed the episode, please let me know on iTunes, give me 5 stars, and leave me a review. I love hearing from you guys, and I'm excited to tune in to next week, and hope you have an awesome day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.